7, Pavlo Fotidis, Auric Business Accelerator. Deals are slow and difficult and sticky and complicated.
Oh, and taking such a long time. Such a long time. To get people to move, to make things happen, is taking an effort, a monumentous effort, unlike I've ever seen before, Bruce. You know, what you might have got done in 6 weeks. So it depends on what you're offering and what you're servicing and what you're selling and who's buying. But what would have taken, let's say, 3, 4, 5 weeks to close is now taking 12, 13, 14 weeks. In corporate spaces, you know, large transactions or medium-sized transactions, used to take about 3 months. They're now taking 9 months. And large transactions are sometimes taking up to 18 months, whereas before they would take between 4 to 6 months.
So you're talking about, you always tell us to create the asset of value so that we can sell it one day, so that we can then retire in all kinds of bubbly comfort and
like Kepps and Francis.
Somewhere like that, so that you can be on permanent fire watch. It's not no laughing matter. So those are the kind of deals. You're not talking about ordinary transactions, relationship transactions, supplier transactions. I mean, are those still working okay? It's the sale transaction that you're focusing on.
Well, it's a sale transaction, but the relationship transactions have changed pace. You know, before people would order larger amounts less frequently. Now they're ordering smaller amounts far more frequently, and you're finding that you are getting paid in longer and longer and longer periods. So the amount of debt, I think, owed in Business South Africa to small businesses must be, oh my word, I would hate someone to ever calculate that number because it would put our GDP to shame. Small businesses are taking tremendous strain at the moment in getting paid, and those payment cycles have only extended. Despite all the promises from big corporate South Africa saying we need to pay small businesses on time, and including government at the same time. You know, they're probably the biggest culprits at the moment of all of them. So those transactions are happening more frequently. They're smaller volumes, they're smaller amounts. You're getting longer to get paid, and in many cases, you're getting contracts reversed. So what I'm talking about is the general environment of sales. If you're in the service industry, or you're serving big businesses, or you're in big supply chains, so for example, where you buy from someone, you add value to whatever you've bought, you on-sell it to someone who adds value to what they bought from you, who on-sell it to the next customer, and eventually the end user gets it. Those environments are really slowed right down, and they're taking forever to convert.
And that conversion also means the market changes in the 3 months, for example, that it takes to solidify a deal, or you sign up and to take my product, and I say, fine, I will supply it to you, and I contact my supplier. I get my goodies, they're sitting in my warehouse, and you go, just hold off for a month. And then at the end of that month, you've changed your mind, you've changed your strategy, you've changed your product lines, you've shut down, you've gone bust because the environment's really tough. Now, suddenly I'm sitting with, you know, a couple of ₹100,000 worth of widgets that I've got nowhere to send. And that then puts me under pressure. So that's the kind of environment we're in, I suppose.
It is very much so. And, you know, a lot of that happens. It happens for a number of reasons. I think that big businesses in South Africa are taking tremendous strain. You know, in a zero-growth economy, which is what we live in and reside in, when you're a big business, there's not a whole lot you can really do, quite honestly. You can't adapt and change and be agile and move into new market opportunities. There's not a whole stack of stuff that you can really, really do. And what's happening in those big businesses, because there are so many CAs involved at senior executive positions, CAs, I'm sad to say, in a tough economy, only understand one thing, and that's cost cutting. And cost cutting really means that skills get moved around. There's ongoing restructuring in corporate South Africa. It seems to be a never-ending cycle. So getting decisions taken, not only because of the slow economy, but because decision makers are being shifted from pillar to post and strategies are being changed on a frequent basis, has created this treacle that you've got to swim through to try and get your ship or boat to the other side.
And when it comes to doing transactions like selling a business, if you've got a business that you're now wanting to put on the market because you're reaching a retirement age, or you've reached a growth level in your business and you just want to get out, you want to flog it, you then put it on the market and you've got a buyer, a willing buyer, you think, but it's taking an awful long time for that transaction to happen. That's happening more and more, and that's what we're really going to focus on with Pavlo this evening in just a moment. So how do you get deals done? How do you get your product moved? How do you do your sales in a quick and easy way? That's what we need to focus on this evening. Let's get back on track. Pavlos Fotidis from Auric Business Accelerator. So how do we make sure that we get the deals done, that we get the contracts in place, and that everybody plays nice?
Okay, so it's not going to be quick and easy, but you've got to sell in a far more sophisticated way. And Bruce, you know, in the old days when the economy was moving, what should we say, about 2 years ago, two, 3 years ago, when did the economy last move? In any event, when the economy was last moving and sales were happening a little easier, a little quicker, a little faster, you could really turn around and use one or two value propositions. And a value proposition is an argument that you put forward to a potential customer where you explain why they should buy from you, how they should buy from you, and what value they will enjoy from you. And the proposition is the proposal. It's a proposal for value. So that's what a value proposition is. In the old days, mostly you could get away with a good product value proposition. And a product value proposition says, hey, I have got this product. These are its features. It's a great brand. We've got a warranty behind it. And should you buy it from me, you will benefit in the following way because of the features of the product and the warranty and our level of service. And that used to mostly get the business done if it was indeed a good product. But today, people don't buy products for features anymore. The tough environment has led to a fundamentally different set of circumstances that most people face. They either have to buy smaller amounts or they've got to buy something that's going to remove an inconvenience or solve a problem. And preferably in buying it, the problem they get solved will be far more expensive than the product they've bought. Because if the problem costs, say, for example, 15,000 Rand whilst it's present and your service costs 5,000 Rand, they can quantify the value of the product as a problem-solving solution to the extent of the 10,000 Rand gain that they would enjoy. And, you know, we've spoken about it extensively, but still, whenever I look at websites of companies, when I speak to a lot of business owners, the first thing they launch into are the features and criteria of the product or the service they offer.
But that's what, I mean, that's their shtick, isn't it? I mean, that's what they think they do.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, here's an example. There's so many different ways to learn to look at it. If you've got a product, if you don't understand what problem you're solving, then you're going to play on the product criteria. But here's the problem, Bruce. We're in a competitive environment and everyone's fighting hard for business. So if I show you my product and I talk to its features and three competitors appear on your horizon and talk to the features of their product too, what does that do to the buyer? The products are all equally good. They equally have certain advantages and disadvantages. Mostly, what it'll do to that buyer is put them into a period of uncertainty. And that's when what should have taken 6 weeks of doing a deal turns into a 12, 15, 16-week process of getting a deal done. So move away from a product mindset, move into a problem mindset, but more importantly, say, this is the problem you experience. This is what it's costing you. I can remove that cost for this offer here. And that's what a value sell is. Value sales increase the momentum of sales and the pace of decision making above a product sale.
It's the difference between the great sale and the average sale, or the great sale and the product push. I mean, people who are pushing product care only about getting rid of the stock that they've got. People who are solving the problem are understanding their customer and their customer's needs. They're actually doing twice the work. Not only are they doing the selling, but they're also adapting their sale to the needs of their customer. And that's an absolutely pivotal differentiator between those who succeed and those who fail.
Completely. And you know, there are some incredible, incredible products out there that solve problems that are profound in many ways, yet they are being articulated as features. They're not getting to the nub of really what the problem is that they solve and how it's going to remove a cost or an inconvenience for that customer. It's simply it's a different way of spinning, in effect, what the product can do, but it does it in a manner that people can relate to, can hear, can connect with. Because when people are under pressure, they look to get their problem solved. They don't listen and want to hear about features.
Completely. It's like, okay, that's fine. Yeah, yeah. I've seen 5 of these and they all do exactly the same thing. How do you make my life better?
Exactly.
And yeah, figure out how to make your customer's life better. Understand their problems and you are 9/10 of the way toward a sale. And that is getting into the mind then of your customer, which can sometimes be quite hard work. I mean, you might have a reticent customer.
It's very hard.
And yeah, how do you break down those barriers?
It's very, very hard. And you know, the thing is, we've seen it politically. We've seen it in the politics all around the world. It's not a South African thing. It happens in the States. It's happening in Europe. It's happening in the Far East. It's everywhere. People only see what they want to see and hear what they want to hear. So it's important that you put yourself in a position where you can communicate the benefits you offer within their value system, not yours, and certainly not the product features.
Okay. So if it's not about the product, not about the features, it's about solving the problem. But there's also got to be the economic value. It's all well and good that I've got a widget that does X, that it solves the problem, and I understand you. And we get each other. And we went and we played golf, and we lost an entire weekend. And that was great. And we buds, and we get on. That's awesome. We've got a good relationship. But my gadget is 7 cents per million more expensive than my competitors. And that may be the deal breaker.
Yeah, very much so. You know, the economic environment, people will always use the economic environment and economic conditions to delay a sale or to slow a sale down. And there are three ways of tackling that. You know, the first is you need to communicate what you do differently in a tough economy compared to doing the exact same thing in a positive economy. And I'll give you a great example. We did some work, some really interesting work with a residential landscaper and gardening service. It was a fairly substantial service. This business does around kind of 32, 33 million rand a year. And when the economy started to turn, this business started to take strain. And the business owner was really concerned, saying, well, this is what my skill set is. This is what my expertise is. How do I sell it differently in a tough economy? In a more buoyant economy, the proposition was simply this. Invest in your property since it's your biggest asset and it'll grow the value of the investment. And it was a solid proposition. And what we discovered is that with the tough economy, it also meant, Bruce, that people couldn't take holidays nearly as frequently as they did. So they had to hang around home. And the proposition was then changed. Invest in creating a holiday environment at home by creating an outside area for entertainment, for family, for friends, and the holiday periods. And it took a bit of time to articulate it well, but it was so well received when people thought, well, I could spend 5,000, 10,000, 15,000 rand on landscaping my garden, putting in a new season, getting it spruced up, instead of a 20, 30, 40,000 rand holiday for a family of 5 or whatever the case might be. You know, the numbers were relevant to the environment that he was selling into. All of a sudden, the same problem, a different problem was perceived. It was provided differently, but the exact same service solved it for them. They saw value in buying that holiday at home, saving money by creating time with family and friends.
They did, and you know, money well spent or sensibly spent then adds value to the property as well. So you get the multiplier,
the double benefit.
Effect, the huge benefit that comes through as a result of that. And so often we get caught up in the sort of tunnel vision. We're so desperate to make the sale, or we're so desperate to get our business running that we don't have time. We don't take the time to lift our heads above the parapet and figure out how better to solve the problem. And so often, we just allow the problem to become exacerbated.
Yeah, completely. You know, one of the other areas, Bruce, where in a tough economy, the one thing that I believe works as a good value proposition is to turn around and actually explain to people that everyone is feeling it. You know, you might be feeling down, you might be feeling negative, you're apprehensive about making the spend or making the investment or acquiring this or buying the service or whatever the case is, but understand everybody is there too. And I was listening to the discussion earlier with Warren. It really is very much a case, and boy, I mean, I could land up in a lot of hot water for this, but I think that when people aren't spending and when people aren't investing, it's a good time to spend and invest, because things will turn over a period of time. When will they turn? I'm not quite sure. They might take longer than perhaps one would want or one would expect, but things can turn incredibly quickly. And I've been having a lot of conversations at the moment with British-based businesses. They gave me the dates of each of the big major Brexit announcements, and they were showing me their sales revenues leading up to it, what happened the moment it was made, and then what happened a short time after when the next announcement was made. And it was as if someone turned the tap on and then turned it off. They never slowed the tap down. It was literally on, then off, then on, then off. And in those environments, if you don't continue to invest, every time the tap switches on again, you're going to find yourself on the back foot of a competitor who continued to invest. Because by investing, they eked ahead of you. They edged ahead of you ever so slightly. 3, 4, 5 of those taps on and off. Them investing consistently means that when things turn, they're going to be way ahead of you.
The trouble is, and in South Africa right now, people don't believe things will ever turn. And that's obviously rubbish, because things eventually do turn. It may happen in a week, a month, a year, who knows. But the turnaround does come. There is an improvement in sentiment. There's an improvement in confidence. And unless you go to Venezuela, Zimbabwe, Syria, generally environments do improve. If it's not Armageddon, says Adrian Gore, whenever anybody asks him this question, you should be building. I did a TV interview the other day. And unless you perceive Armageddon, you've got to be building and growing businesses all the time. You may grow faster in better times, slower in other times, but it really does give you a chance to do stuff that is happening in the environment. You get a competitive advantage in an environment where groupthink has taken hold and everybody is stuck in this absolute frozen fear and paranoia.
Completely. You know, Bruce, it's I came across an article today that was written by JP Luntman, and honestly, it's such a worthwhile read, and I would encourage everyone to find that article. It came off a different media platform, but it's such a worthwhile read because it spoke about what media is not talking about, the action behind the scenes. And what he did is he almost gave a quantitative or metric position on how things are changing. They're changing slowly, he admits, but he says they're changing. When I read that article, I sat back and I thought, oh my word, we're not investing enough. On the back of that and that article alone, we're not investing enough.
Yep, he's got the luxury of space, of course, online to do the cumulative pull together of the extraordinary strides that have been taken. And everyone forgets. I mean, it's just a little over 2 years since the Gupta emails arrived on the internet.
Exactly.
A hell of a lot has happened. Yes, a good bit of guidance there this evening, Pablo. Thank you. JP Luntman, just Google it. He is a consultant for Nedbank, but the stories were published on News 24 today. And it's a long read. It's a detailed read, but I defy you to not feel better about your state of mind when you finish that story as you are when you go into it. It's a very good read. Thank you, Pablo, for TDs at Auric Business Accelerator.